Chapter 16, P for Prayer. Prayer is not simply a task to be done, a self-contained activity. It is a relationship. Unless we strive to develop and improve this aspect of discipleship, our relationship with God will not grow. How is your prayer life? Do you pour out your heart before God regularly, honestly, and fervently? Or has prayer become something of a ritual or tradition? God invites us to have a rich and dynamic prayer life in which we not only give Him praise, but also ask Him for help and guidance in our own lives and the lives of those around us. Prayer is very personal to each of us. There are no rules or rituals to obey. All God asks of us is that we seek Him regularly, earnestly, and humbly, for He has promised, "When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." Jeremiah 29, verse 13. The uncomfortable truth. Developing an open and honest relationship with God can be a difficult and at first uncomfortable process. To ask for His help is to admit that we are not as strong as we might think we are, and that we are not in control of our own lives. To voice our darkest thoughts is to confess that we so often lose our battle against temptation and sin. In prayer, we come face to face with things we would rather keep locked away. We face the uncomfortable truth that we are not perfect and we need help. Since nothing is hidden from God, we should not seek to present Him with half-truths and half-hearted excuses. Instead, we must offer Him our whole hearts and our whole minds. We admit that we are weak and vulnerable, secure in the knowledge that God will never take advantage of our weaknesses, but will use them to make us stronger. For we trust that God has chosen us in spite of all these imperfections. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. We know this quote well, but do we ever stop to think about the next part of the same verse? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We ought to boast of our weaknesses, to rejoice in them and to find them a source of confidence, knowing that God works with broken, contrite men and women to mold and shape them into His image. We can drop the strong, confident persona that we feel the world requires of us because we know that God looks deeper and asks for a much more genuine relationship with us. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Isaiah 66, verse 2. The more open we are with God about our weaknesses and failings, the deeper and closer will be our relationship with Him. In pouring out our hearts to Him in this way, we are no longer praying out of habit, but out of a desire to have a strong, trusting relationship with our Creator. We find peace secure in the knowledge that God loves us, and hears our prayers, knowing that we have Jesus as our high priest and mediator. We find freedom because we no longer have to hide from God or ourselves, no longer need to pretend we are perfect when we quite clearly are not. We know that we are ragged and torn, but we also know that we have been clothed with righteousness and seated in heavenly places, carried and lifted up by an awesome God. For there is none like God who rides through the heavens to your help. Through the skies in His majesty, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26 and 27. Esteeming others. Whilst it is important to build a close relationship with God and to feel able to tell Him everything that is going on in our lives, we cannot neglect our responsibility to our brothers and sisters. To pray only about our own circumstances, worries, and plans would be to miss the point entirely, since we are called to esteem others better than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. We ought rather to follow the example of our Lord Jesus, who on the night He knew He would be betrayed, when He was almost overwhelmed with sorrow and fear, lifted up His eyes and prayed for His disciples and for all those who would come to believe the gospel message. There are many ways in which we can ensure our prayers are appropriately balanced. Some like to use the acronym ACTS: Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Others take the Lord's Prayer as a structural basis for their own prayers: Thanks and Praise, Forgiveness, Prayer for those in need, Guidance, and Requests. One family I know has 7 areas of focus for their morning prayers, one for each day of the week. These include the ecclesia, preaching, work, and family. The prayer journal, available from the Christadelphian office, contains several pages of suggestions regarding the possible structure and content of prayers. The journal also provides additional suggestions for each day of the year, such as preaching the gospel, strength to overcome weakness, and family concerns, and there is space to record the content of each day's prayers. It can also be used to note down any matters of welfare that are mentioned in the Sunday announcements so that these can be included in our prayers too. Putting it into practice. The theory is all well and good, but in practice, this depth of prayer and petition does not come naturally to us and requires patience and persistence. We need to accept that it will be hard at first, but that our perseverance will pay off. We are creatures of habit, and most of us work best when we have a routine. So one idea would be to set aside a particular time every day to pray, out loud if possible, in an honest, open way. This prayer time could be first thing before getting out of bed, during breakfast, in the car on the way to school, college, university, work, during our lunch break. Any time will do, as long as it is consistent. Research shows that we must do something around 30 times before it becomes a habit, meaning that after just 1 month, this prayer time should start to become natural. Why not try it? Set yourself a 30-day challenge and determine to pray at least one meaningful prayer at a set time or times every day for a month. At home, we can leave visual reminders for ourselves so that we are frequently reminded to refocus our minds and to pray. These reminders could be as direct as "don't forget to pray" or more subtle messages and quotes. The extent to which you do this very much depends on your style, but such visual reminders could include strategically placed sticky notes, postcards, canvases, or pictures with inspirational quotes. Cutting out large, colorful letters to write out a wall-length Bible quote. Magnetic letters / words on the radiator, fridge, or boiler. Collages of motivational pictures and quotes. Messages on mirrors, fridges, windows, or whiteboards using non-permanent pen, glass chalk, or old lipstick. Messages on bathroom tiles using bath crayons. 2 ears, 1 mouth. It is important always to remember that prayer, as with any other communication, is a two-way process involving both speaking and listening. One of my colleagues daily points out to the children in her class that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, and we should use them proportionately. If we are not putting in the effort to listen to what God has to say to us through His Word, we cut ourselves off from the primary way in which He speaks to us. God can and does answer prayers in other ways, but so often we find clear answers when we spend focused time reading the scriptures. You may have heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. How true this is. If we fill our minds with the mundane and worldly, not only will our prayers be selfish and shallow, but we will not be receptive to what God desires to show us. If, on the other hand, we spend time reading and meditating upon His Word, we attune ourselves to God's thinking and will find that our prayers become much more God-focused. We shall pray less selfishly, more thankfully, and with greater understanding. Not only this, but we turn our attention to the Word of God and away from the world. We shall begin to discover answers to our prayers in the most unlikely of Bible passages. This might happen as we are reading, but could equally happen at any time, when a verse we didn't even know we had memorized suddenly springs to mind to provide insight or comfort. God's Word truly is living and active, Hebrews 4, verse 12. The privilege of prayer. When we pray, we ought always to do so with a humble heart, acknowledging that God's thoughts are far higher than our thoughts, and His ways much higher than our ways, Isaiah 55, verse 9. We confess our faults and weaknesses, take off our masks, tear down the walls we have built up, and can truly be ourselves. We draw near to God, and He delights to draw near to us. James 4, verse 8. What a powerful, humbling privilege this is, and one we must never take for granted. We know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 16. The ESV renders this, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Never forget how powerful your prayers can be when you pray with the right attitude. This means always praying, your will, not mine, be done. Recognizing that God gives us what we need, not what we want, and understanding that there are some trials we must endure because God, in His wisdom, knows they will help us to grow. It means accepting that the answer will not always be immediately apparent, and it may not be the answer we had expected or imagined. It will be better. Sometimes the answer will be no or not yet. Always the answer will be just what we need, as just the right time and in just the right way to help us grow as disciples of Christ as we await His return. Questions and suggestions. 1. Is there anything in your life which you find difficult to take to God in prayer? What is holding you back from being completely honest with God? Make a conscious effort to pray about this every day, even if it only takes up to one sentence of your prayer. It will get easier as time goes on. 2. How balanced are your prayers? Do you thank and praise God as often as you petition Him? Do you pray more for others or for yourself? What will you do to better restore a balance? 3. What time of day will you set aside to pray? Be realistic. Does praying before bed suit you, or will you always be too tired? Is lunchtime the best time, or will you get too distracted by emails, phone calls, and colleagues? Choose somewhere quiet and peaceful if you can. Some people like to have a prayer chair, which they always sit on to pray, because the association helps them to focus. 4. Are you listening to God as much as you are talking to Him? Don't expect God to listen to you if you don't listen to Him. Make sure you are setting aside time every day to read and meditate upon His word.